Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning into the UBS Global Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity analysts on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's markets. My name is Dimitar Tassev. I'm the UBS Healthcare Sector Specialist, and I'm here with Michael Yee, the Global Head of Biotechnology Equity Research. In this episode, we're going to be taking a high-level look at the U.S. biopharma space on the back of Mike's initiation several weeks ago.
Well, thanks, Dimitar. It's great to be here. True pleasure. Excited to talk about this with our audience. Biopharma has been a very difficult place to be over the last few years. Large cap pharma stocks have mostly underperformed and lagged the S&P 500 and the broader market. Small and mid cap biotech has definitely lagged and was actually trading at multi-year lows over the last few years. And it's definitely been a tough place to be. A lot of that had to do with uncertainty about drug pricing and reform, certainly with the various different regulatory proposals, the legislative proposals out of the administrations. And so now that we recently got drug pricing deals signed during the fourth quarter, this has been a huge overhang that is now passing. And what we see is investors are a lot more confident about the outlook about drug pricing and revenues going forward. So specifically, now that the fears about huge drug pricing cuts are behind us, we can take a look at a lot of these pharmaceutical names which are trading at huge discounts to the broader market and are too cheap and underappreciated, and small and mid-cap biotech stocks which are trading at multi-year lows, and people are starting to come back and get quite interested in this space, particularly because there's been a lot of M&A in the space. So pharmaceutical companies, which are cheap but have patent cliffs, have been buying up a lot of the small and mid-cap biotech companies. There's been about 10 M&A transactions in the last couple of months, record levels. There's been a lot of innovation, particularly in obesity, oncology, and autoimmune that has been happening in the space. So these stocks have been too cheap, but now actually looking forward, a lot of innovation, a lot of M&A, in many cases, a lot of rotation into this underappreciated space. And I think the stocks are set to move higher this year. A lot of people are nervous just because there's been a big rally in the group over the last few months. In some cases, a lot of biotech stocks are up 50% or more, certainly the XBI index. However, we think that while there may be a pause or some consolidation, we certainly think the outlook ahead over the next year or so is certainly a positive for the group.
Yeah, and I agree. I think on top of that, you know, interest rates have come down. People have moved up the risk curve. That's obviously helped the mid-cap biotech space in particular. The innovation's clearly been beneficial to both large-cap and small-cap biotech. Maybe transitioning over to the biggest theme in biopharma probably over the last 5 years, which is the obesity space. There's been a lot of changes there. Maybe at a high level, how do you look at the space now? It's mainly been a duopoly. Now there's more people with innovative data in the space. How do you look at it over the next 5 years?
So we're definitely bullish about where the obesity market is going. We still think we're fairly early in the cycle. You could appreciate that the Lilly injectable obesity drug Zepbound was actually only approved in obesity in the United States a little more than a year ago. That's taking off. And importantly, which a lot of people are going to be excited about, is that the new oral medications for obesity, the oral GLP-1 pills, are just getting started. Novo just got approval of their drug a couple of weeks ago. Recently, the administration has agreement with Lilly and Novo to have Medicare coverage so that those in US under Medicare should be able to get access to the drug when they meet the requirements. In addition, the cash pay channel will be available, both companies available on the website with a prescription, but there's an agreed upon 50% discount or so to the prices. So these are available at reasonable costs between $199 to $399 per month. And there's gonna be a lot more affordability for these so that people can get access to drugs. And that's obviously critically important because you can have drugs, but if people can't access the drugs, that's a problem. And that was a big deal that was recently struck. And that's why, the gates are open for access to these drugs.
Perfect. Maybe next, your view of the regulatory backdrop at the FDA. Obviously, there's been a lot of changes under the current administration. Do you think it's becoming maybe more or less difficult to get drugs across the finish line versus the previous administration? Just generally speaking, how do you think some of these drug approvals will shape up at a high level over the next year or two?
So recently, we had changes in the regulatory environment, new head of Health and Human Services, HHS, new head of FDA, new head of the Center for Biologics Evaluations Center, CBER. And there was a lot of investor concern that the new leadership was going to be tougher on various aspects of approving FDA drugs. The stocks went down during this period. It was part of the reason why the sector lagged a lot last year, and there was a lot of investor concern. What we think is an opportunity is that we see that the administration actually is quite pro-approval. They just want more transparency. They want safety, and they do want to ensure that important new drugs are going to get approved and actually in a rapid way. For example, the new commissioner's national priority review voucher is a special voucher from the commissioner that allows rapid approval in as soon as 2 months, but overall basically faster than a traditional review, which should shave months off of the review timeline. And so while I think that the regulatory environment is a little bit more complicated and unpredictable with vaccines, and in some cases gene therapy, the important part is that we have not seen significant delays or problems for most drugs, and that therefore companies with drugs that have high efficacy, good safety, and an unmet need should be able to get through and approved to patients quickly. And therefore, most investors are starting to realize that. And that's actually why stocks have started to rally, because people were too negative and too bearish. And actually, we're finding out that all is going to be okay.
And then I guess one other thing, maybe if you can quickly comment on the FTC. Obviously, the Trump administration and the new FTC has led to a lot more deal making. I think that's probably part of the tailwind in some of the M&A in biotech. But maybe you can provide some commentary on that. Do you feel like that's going to allow big pharma to be a bit more brave when it comes to acquiring things within the same class?
We think that M&A is an important tailwind, period, for biotech. The large cap pharma companies have the biggest LOE, loss of exclusivity, patent cliffs that they've ever faced before. More than $100 billion of drugs are going off patent in the next 5 years. And big companies need to refill their pipelines with innovative new drugs that are coming, mostly sourced from the 300 innovative biotech companies that are out there with great new drugs that are coming in the future. So regardless, we believe that fundamentally, a lot of these companies need to fill pipelines and are seeking external innovation from small biotech companies that have great technologies and can be better developed, more rapidly developed, and obviously commercialized by the large companies. In addition, these pharma companies have more capacity and more capital than ever before to go out and do that. The balance sheets are the largest they've ever been before, in most cases. The ability to borrow at lower interest rates has been great. And so we think that while the regulatory environment is definitely getting better, we believe that these small and mid-cap biotech companies are not going to be a significant issue or concern from a regulatory perspective. And therefore, this has been another bullish theme for biotech.
Great. And then lastly, when you speak with generalist investors, obviously you speak with healthcare specialists and generalists, what do you think generalist investors most underappreciate about the space? Maybe you could start with large caps and also mid caps, to sort of, you know, putting it all together based on a conversation we just had.
So look, one of the coolest things about the space right now is investors have been largely ignoring this space for the last few years. Obviously, technology innovation and AI dominates headlines and the narratives, and biopharma companies have largely been, in the forefront or the target of regulation. And so it has been very tough for our sector. What I think is most underappreciated is that the innovation and scientific discoveries that are leading to new immuno-oncology drugs such as personalized cancer vaccines, mRNA cancer vaccines, which could be a big opportunity, new bispecific cancer antibodies that target two different targets in combination like PD-1 VEGF, clearly could be a new treatment paradigm for lung cancer and others, and many companies are in late stage with those, or new cardiovascular drugs and new targets that came through innovation and new markers. I'm not talking about old statins, but I'm talking about new drugs that target cardiovascular risk markers like lipoprotein A or other different things that are also in phase three that are also looking good. So the innovation that's come from GLP-1, the innovation that we're seeing with mRNA technology or gene therapy is happening. And so given the fact that these stocks have mostly lagged and have been out of favor for many years, gives people an opportunity and why we're excited about investing in this space, because the valuations are cheap, yet the innovation is high. And therefore, we see opportunity for investors in this space over the next few years.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think with respect to the large caps, you have revenue generating, free cash flow generating companies that, despite having some loss of exclusivity issues, are growing pretty well, trading at far lower multiples. And most people look at the pipelines and think, okay, maybe this is what they have, but with all the cash on the balance sheet, they can acquire innovation, as you mentioned. And it goes back to mid-caps, as you mentioned, there's gonna be a lot of M&A. And frankly, you know, with interest rates having come down, that makes people wanna go up the risk curve. And mid-cap biotech has historically done well and as interest rates have come down.
And it's not even just M&A. I would just close out by saying, regardless of M&A, what we're seeing is that the capital markets and the access to capital for small and mid-cap companies to be able to finance, to fund the next stage of development was a problem over the last few years. And it was really hard to finance and get capital to fund the R&D to go out and run these next studies. This has actually been an issue for the supply chain and CDMOs because the R&D was getting cut because there was no access to capital and the stocks were down and people were not putting money to work here. Now that capital is coming back into the space, people are looking at these companies, pharma companies are investing. A lot of these small and mid-cap companies are able to finance, they're able to raise money, they're actually able to run the next stage of discovery, and oftentimes these discoveries are working, they're getting rewarded, the stocks are going up, and they're performing well regardless of even M&A. And actually, financing capital raised in the fourth quarter was actually at record levels, multi-year record levels, and there were even IPOs that started to go out this year. So optimistic about it, whether positive fundamental tailwinds, M&A tailwinds or others. It's going to be a pretty exciting year, Demeter.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks, Mike. And thank you for visiting UBS Research Pod Hub. That was an overview of the biopharma space with Michael Yee at UBS. If you've enjoyed this episode, please tune in again and share this episode with a friend or colleague.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries and or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation, nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content and has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction, where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept liability over any such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. Copyright UBS 2026. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.